one update here on Culture Shift. So we introduced this segment earlier in the summer to talk about the importance of gaming, not only here in Detroit, but here globally. The gaming industry in the U.S. and across the globe is a multi-trillion dollar industry. It's much more than a pastime these days. It is a vital connection to community for millions of people. So the size and scope of the gaming world has increased exponentially in recent years, and it's brought a whole host of issues. Perhaps you heard of Gamergate being one of them. Labor, economic, cultural, and political challenges have rocked the gaming industry in recent years. But the cultural influence of games and gamers has also grown exponentially as well. Joining me live in studio is WDET's own in-house gaming journalist, Nate Bender. He hosts the podcast Let's Play. It is a daily gaming news podcast. He's also the creator of Checkpoint Radio. Nate, welcome back to Culture Shift.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here. We have so much to talk about. A couple of weeks ago, on this very segment, we had talked about some of the biggest players on Twitch,
yes,
and some of the massive audiences that they hold in their hands. Well, this week has been an absolute insane week in the world of Twitch. Mm. We're going to start off with a huge controversy that bubbled up over the last week, and that is the streamer Slicker releasing a video confessing to scamming $300,000 from his audience and from other notable streamers on the platform. This is absolutely insane. People have been speculating that, you know, this kind of behavior was going on behind the scenes for a while, and it just so happened that the evidence finally lined up for him to say, yeah, I did that.
Oh my gosh. So when we're talking about this this streamer, how much of an audience do they have?
They are a fairly sizable streamer in the Twitch world, and they, you know, here's the thing. Slicker is a gambling addict. He admitted this as a part of his post, but scamming $300,000 is, you know, I think his position as a Twitch streamer is the only reason that he was able to get this amount of money from his audience and from other streamers. It was due simply to his notoriety. So this led to a discussion between some of the top streamers on the platform. Pokimane, Mizkif, and Devin Nash all sat down to plan out a boycott over the holiday season. Now, we'll get into the way that Twitch makes money a little bit later, but Christmas and ad revenue is a huge time for any media venture. Twitch is included in that. So to have some of the biggest streamers talking about boycotting the platform around the holidays, this definitely got Twitch's attention. So 24 hours later, Twitch released a statement addressing gambling on the platform. And on October 18th, gambling sites like Stake.com, Rollbit.com, Dualbits.com, Robet.com will all be banned from Twitch. Now, these are mostly slot gambling websites. And why this is a huge deal is because there was no barrier to entry for a kid to come to Twitch and watch somebody gambling insane amounts of money. And we've seen a lot of stories in the hashtag Twitch Stop Betting of parents whose kids got a hold of their credit card and racked up thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. You've got streamers themselves, adults themselves, saying that, you know, their first exposure to digital gambling was through Twitch and just observing people on Twitch. This is a huge, huge deal. And Twitch made the right decision here. They made the absolute right decision, taking gambling off the platform. And this was a huge W. This was a huge win for Twitch. And then not even 24 hours later,
Twitch
at 3 a.m., Twitch decides to release a statement about how they're going to be adjusting the top streamers' revenue split. Most streamers and even partners with Twitch have a 50-50 revenue split, meaning when someone comes to your channel and subscribes to your channel, you get $2.50, Twitch gets $2.50. But if you have a sizable audience, you could leverage that audience when you negotiate with Twitch to be able to get a higher split. That highest split that you could get was 70-30. Twitch is phasing this out entirely after streamers hit a 100K cap. So if you have a 70-30 split on your contract, once you earn $100,000 inside of a calendar year, it now goes to the 50-50 revenue split, which is a big deal because there has been a lot, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot of back and forth and battles over talent between Twitch, a site that's no longer around, but one that was called Mixer that was owned by Microsoft. You've also got YouTube Gaming and Facebook Gaming. And YouTube and Facebook have been rolling out massive exclusivity contracts to make up the difference that you get when you step away from Twitch. Because what Twitch has is a huge embedded audience, and they have discoverability, two things that YouTube doesn't have. YouTube doesn't have an embedded audience because people will watch a YouTube video and navigate away. But people who come to Twitch, they go there to stay. So YouTube has a bit of a platform problem here where, you know, Twitch is now doing all of making all of these decisions to, you know, making content on Twitch less profitable. And the only reason that they're doing that is because you have less options to go elsewhere, unless you're one of these huge streamers and YouTube is coming to you with a contract in hand. So this is actually going to upend what most people see as the higher end streamers on Twitch. If you're cutting 20% of their revenue after $100,000, then they're going to go look for, you know, a better deal elsewhere.
Okay, and with what's going on with Twitch, I want to go back to the streamer who stole so much money from his fans. I'm really curious. Is this person Slicker? Are they going to face any legal repercussions yet? Because I'm thinking about all those parents whose younger kids have stolen their credit card. I mean, is he going to be facing possibly any paying back any of this money stolen?
You know, it should be said that a lot of this is still developing. Much of this has been broken over the last, you know, 48 to 96 hours. It is unclear what type of punishment someone like Slicker is going to face. He's already been banned off of the platform, and he's already said he's going to remove himself from streaming. I mean, after you've scammed $300,000 out of your peers, how do you go back to trying to participate in something like that? You don't. You have to go, and you've got to get a normal job. But in terms of, you know, the punishments, I think that might be on an individual basis. To my knowledge, though, there haven't been any suits that have been filed. It should also be mentioned that I believe Slicker is Scottish, which may end up impeding some of those methods of trying to hold him accountable.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, we were just talking about that. Want to move back down to what we were just talking about with the 70-30 split. And I know that, you know, I'm a huge TikTok fan. So, you know, with TikTok, and they have the creator fund, and they have their different types of methods, but they pay their creators. And I'm seeing this is going to stop a lot of those major million-dollar streamers and gamers from becoming millionaires. They're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of sentiment out there right now that this really only ends up impacting people who are already rich.
Yeah.
And that is a pretty valid criticism, because I think it's fairly fair to go, okay, after $100,000, everyone can, you know, most people can live off that. Now, you know, we're going back to a different split. But I think that there is also a counter argument to be made that Twitch is coming out and saying, listen, we have all of these costs for being able to host this website, for being able to host your streams. But in reality, Twitch is owned by Amazon, who owns most of the servers that this platform is on. So what are they really paying? In their web post yesterday, they cited what are public rates for renting server space through Amazon. But they're not a member of the public. They're a member of Amazon. They're either getting that server space for free or getting it at a severely discounted rate. So I feel like the evidence that Twitch presented to bring down the revenue split is a little bit disingenuous on its face as well.
Okay, we're with Nate Bender here at WDET. It is the One Update. We're talking about some of the big news going on with Twitch this week. And I know this situation is still unfolding, Nate, so we will return to some of this news when it begins to unfold next week here on the One Update. We are going to be getting into our major segment of this week after we hear from Tia Graham and Ryan Patrick Hooper, but want to give people a sneak peek at what we're going to be getting into, something that we've talked about quite often, and is a huge issue. It is a huge problem in the gaming world, and that is the recruitment by extremists, specifically right-wing extremists, on these gaming platforms.
Absolutely. And this is a subject that I think does not get nearly enough discussion, even among gamers and video game media. So I'm happy to talk about it here today. But this is something that's happening. And I've got a question to put it out there.
Please.
Would you invite a white supremacist into your home to have dinner? Probably not, right? Well, anytime you're sitting down in a voice lobby with someone else, who are they? Who are you inviting into your home for the next 10, 15, 20 minutes for the next game session?
Great question.
We're going to talk about that on the other side.
Thank you so much, Nate. This is 101.9 WDET. The show is Culture Shift. I'm Amanda LeClaire, and it is our fall fundraiser here at WDET. It is the we're beginning to wrap it up. At least Saturday will be the last day of the fall fundraiser. Today is the second to last Culture Shift. So we are asking that you make your gift, if you have not yet, to WDET. Make your gift to this fall fundraiser. Make it during Culture Shift. A lot of great reasons. To the biggest reason is because you are listening right now and you love what you're hearing here on Culture Shift. Make your gift right now at WDET.org, 800-959-9338.
WDET is supported by Bolero Lanes and Lounge in Royal Oak, Metro Detroit's retro boutique bowling alley, with live music, all vinyl DJs, karaoke, and more. See the full schedule of events at BoleroDetroit.com.
We are racing towards our goal this hour during the fall fundraiser here on Culture Shift. 20 gifts this hour, and you are helping to make that happen. Shout out to, we have a lot of anonymous people. That is an option if you don't want to have your name out there. You can come in as anonymous. It's a popular option today, apparently. Anonymous in Royal Oak just got their gift matched. Alyssa came in at that $10.19 per month. Alyssa in Detroit, who selected the nerd t-shirt. Very, very popular. People want that thank you gift. They want that public radio nerd t-shirt. It's one of a lot of different options that you've got. If you do the $10.19 a month as a sustaining member, you could choose the WDET tote bag as a thank you gift, the WDET t-shirt, the WDET baseball cap, lots of really cool apparel that you can choose from. Thomas in Willis, Michigan, thank you so much for that very, very generous gift. Thomas chose that t-shirt. Cheryl in Detroit, again, coming in at that level of $10.19 a month. I love that. You could do that as a one-time gift of $122 or $10.19 per month. You could do it at WDET.org or call 800-959-9338. And listen to this, Tia. This is a new person who came in and wanted to make a gift, Anna in Dearborn. We appreciate you, Anna. Anna said, I listen to WDET at work. Always love Detroit Today and Culture Shift for diverse local voices and stories. Also appreciate shows from other networks. Last week's Sound Opinion on Krat Rock was perfect. It really was, Anna. We know that you've got good taste, not only because you love that episode of Sound Opinions, but because you listen to WDET. Again, you can make that gift at WDET.org or call 800-959-9338. Anna makes a really good point. You know, those programs, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Sound Opinions, Radiolab, This American Life, we have to pay to carry those on this station. So, of course, we've got great local programming, and it gets that too. Detroit Today, Culture Shift, the music hosts on the weekend. But those national shows that really build out this station and make it as robust as it is, a 24/7, 365 network that we've got here, those cost money. And it is your gifts that end up financing this station. So know when you're making a gift, you're supporting Detroit, you're supporting Detroit Public Radio, and you're supporting the health of this radio station. Stand up, be a hero with that first ever gift at WDET.org or call 800-959-9338.
And we are matching your donations this afternoon. Synergy Health Partners Orthopedic Urgent Care, they gave a gift of $1,500. So you give $1,500, we'll match $1,500. You give $10, we'll match $10. So it's like giving two gifts in one, two gifts at one time, which is awesome. And everyone loves, I hope everyone loves to help other people out. That'd be nice. It's kind of our motto here at Culture Shift, helping each other out. But if you want to start that monthly gift of $30 a month, you can get the WDET Festival Chair. You can take it to some of the concerts that you all hear about here on WDET, especially I believe it's Pine Knob again, right?
It is Pine Knob.
All right, just making sure. You know, when I was born, it was DTE Energy, so happy to hear it's
Pine Knob for the first time for you, then.
Yes, it is, and I'm excited about that.
All right, Grandma. Go ahead and...
Back in my day! You can get the Tower Mug for $5 a month if you want to start there. As well, if you want to start at that $10 a month limit, you can get socks. I mean, fall is around the corner. Feet are going to be a little cool or cold. You want to get those socks $10 a month as well. $20 a month giving a level there. You'll get four WDET pint glasses, which will look great on your counter or as you're drinking some apple cider this fall. But you know, Ryan, as we talk about the fall, it's sweater weather. We're starting to see that start to cool down just a little bit. I'm hoping that you all sit around and listen to Culture Shift all day long.
Huddle around the radio like it's your campfire.
Yes.
It's keeping you warm there.
Yes.
Yeah. WDET.org is the place to make that first ever gift to the station. You can also do it over the phone, 800-959-9338. Seth in Detroit just became a new member of this radio station. Thank you so much, Seth. We really, really do appreciate it. It is about those first ever gifts, right? That one time or the new sustaining members that are coming in. Seth, speaking of fall weather, at $25 per month, got the crew neck sweatshirt with the WDET logo, all the shows printed on the back. It's this great deep navy color. It is super comfy, super soft. And Seth wrote, I truly love and appreciate all that you do. I love all of the shows that WDET provides, especially Culture Shift. And special shout out to Tia Graham, the latest and greatest addition to the Culture Shift team. No doubt, Seth, we agree with you 110% on that.
Seth, don't make me cry in here. Oh, my God.
She is a crier. Also, I have to give a shout out to William in Clinton Township, who, again, that $10.19 per month, that sustaining gift, is really popular. And William chose the WDET embroidered logo baseball hat, which is super stylish, super in for the fall season. And William wrote, I love Detroit Today and Culture Shift. I listen every day at work. William, thank you so much. Be like William. Be like Seth. Be like Anna. Make your first ever gift at WDET.org or call 800-959-9338. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Huge thanks to everyone who's given to WDET. We do have a goal this hour of 20 gifts during Culture Shift. We are getting our way there. We have 30 minutes left in the show, though, to get there. We need 12 more gifts at WDET.org. 12. A dozen. I know y'all are listening out there. If you have not yet made your gift, it is the time to. It goes twice as far with a dollar-for-dollar match on the table, and you're going to be automatically entered in to win this great set of Detroit and Michigan-based books and the cool WDET tote bag with the zipper. It's fancy. It's deluxe. You'll be...
I'm sorry to interject. With the zipper.
With the zipper, man. I mean,
your books won't fall out.
No, your tarot cards, crystals, all's going to stay
all
in there.
It.
Yeah. WDET.org, the place to go to make your gift of support. Again, it is Culture Shift on this Thursday afternoon. We are back here with Nate Bender, our in-house gaming journalist here at WDET, the host of the Daily Gaming News podcast, Let's Play. This is a newer segment we have introduced, so I want to put a special shout out there to those who have appreciated this, those who are gamers. I know there's a lot of you out there. Make your gift right now at WDET.org because, frankly, there's not a lot of people covering the gaming world in NPR, covering the gaming world in Detroit News also. And especially, Nate, this segment that we have got to get into because it's a big one here and we will be revisiting it as time goes on because it does continually change. But the segment we previewed a few minutes ago, and that is the really big problem right now in the gaming world of right-wing extremist recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. So Extremism and Gaming Research Network recently published a study. This is from last year, but it is as recent as last year. But EGRN's 129-page report goes over research from the early 2000s to August 2021. And EGRN's conclusion is that neo-Nazis and far-right groups and ISIS are using video games as recruitment tools, radicalizing young people into extremist organizations. And I think, you know, there's a great example of what this sort of leads to, and that was the Christchurch shooting. This is from a piece from The Economist from last year.
When you have a kid who knows how to use a VPN to disguise their internet connection, sitting in front of their computer, these individuals self-radicalize, get themselves some kind of a weapon, and it's just really hard to trace. You know, it's one actor with no obvious connection to any particular group you're monitoring.
A report by the New Zealand Royal Commission found the Christchurch attacker was radicalized by content on YouTube and other online platforms. But it's not just social media channels that provide a platform for far-right extremists. They've also used online gaming forums to promote transnational racial ideas, like the Great Replacement, a conspiracy theory that states that whites are being supplanted by non-white populations.
And Nate, when, you know, we have talked, and I think this has been a conversation in the media, that the algorithm on YouTube and other online streaming platforms is geared toward not just right-wing politics, right-wing extremism in particular, but for folks who don't play online, who aren't gamers, again, talk about exactly how potent that platform is for this kind of recruitment.
Absolutely. So not just that, but any reactionary content. The algorithm is really designed to take something that you can react to, something bombastic or, salacious and that you can react to. And, the real problem here with video games is twofold. The first is that video games are an interactive medium. So they happen to be really handy propaganda for people who have already drank the Kool-Aid. You now have an interactive methodology to explain tactics and things like that. And you have an interactive way to sort of train people into violence, for lack of a better word.
And unfortunately, these games, some of them that they are using are violent games.
Yes. Obviously most games tend to be inherently violent, and that's because you as the player want some struggle to overcome. And the easiest way to do that is to put the player in danger, digital danger, right? So conflict is usually expressed as violence. And here's the thing. I don't want anyone to mistake what I'm saying and think that I'm trying to claim that video games make people violent. They do not. The content can, you know, you have to separate the content from what the result is. The other really important thing that video games have, and this is actually even more recent, is that they have a way to communicate with other players, either a chat box or voice chat. And that is incredibly intimate. And a lot of times there is absolutely no oversight of those channels.
So just, you know, quickly, I was just thinking about what you're saying. And, you know, we talk about those chat rooms and those areas. These are people who normally wouldn't have had connection with one another.
Right.
Excuse me. They may be from different states. They may be from different countries, honestly. And they are coming together in these chat rooms in ways they've never been able to do before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you rewind time back to the mid-90s, early 2000s, it was at a point where a lot of these groups were still very marginal, even on the internet. And that, you know, that was a series of events that, you know, they found their hatred. They got ostracized by their family. They had a very small network to connect with. And then the internet comes around and suddenly that network expands by a multitude of degrees. And suddenly every game lobby you join has 14 other voices and you have absolutely no idea where they come from, what their outlook is. And the problem is, that, and especially with a lot of these groups that are going out there looking for recruitment, it starts in the form of jokes. It starts in the form of using coarse language along with slurs in an attempt to try to get somebody to laugh. And once you have that engagement with someone, you can then personalize it to where you're talking one-on-one with somebody. And after that, the recruiters will tend to move the conversation from a public platform to something that is more private and more encrypted. And that's where the real radicalization ends up taking place.
And do not discount the preparation of these recruiters.
Correct. Mm.
This is a strategy.
Yes.
These are incredibly strategic conversations that are being had that have been developed over years to get at someone's weaknesses and to then bring them in. So I just want to make sure this isn't like an accidental thing that happens.
Right.
These are people very much with a target in mind, targeting people, and then bringing them into some of these horrific ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just video games, but also video game adjacent platforms. We were just talking about Twitch. Twitch has seen an uptick in harassment on the platform since 2017, a thing that has become widely, a tactic, I guess, that has become widely used is hate raids, where someone who already has kind of a disposition of being an extremist will send their audience to another channel, and a lot of times that ends up coming in the form of harassment.
Can you say the name again of that?
Hate raids.
I never knew the definition. I never knew the name, the official name of it.
Yeah. Also using Twitch channels, using donations or bits to put up horrible messages in people's stream. A lot of time a subscription notice or a donation will come accompanied with a small message that a user can type in. A lot of times that can go sideways. And using things like donations and bits to launder money. If there's someone in one of these criminal organizations that starts a Twitch channel, it's a really convenient way to be able to launder money. So I really want to really quick talk about why it is that gamers are targeted. And I want to use a clip here from Aaron Marie Saltman's TED Talk on how young people join violent extremist groups and how to stop them. She talks about the push and pull methods of why someone would join an organization like this.
Push factors are basically what makes you vulnerable to a process of radicalization, to joining a violent extremist group. And these can be a lot of different things, but roughly a sense of alienation, a sense of isolation, questioning your own identity, but also feeling that your in-group is under attack, and your in-group might be based on a nationality or an ethnicity or a religion, and feeling that larger powers around you are doing nothing to help.
And in this case, the in-group is a hobby. So rewind the clock back to when we were talking about Gamergate. Gamergate was the exact inciting incident that made a lot of people who maybe had self-identified as gamers or self-identified as nerds. And now suddenly you have an external factor coming in and saying your favorite thing is under attack from feminists, from wokists, from whatever it is. And it's easy to rally the troops against something like that without ever really explaining what that thing is. And unfortunately, I watched a lot of very smart, very well-meaning people get dragged down this rabbit hole back in 2015 when the whole Gamergate thing started to go down. And sadly, you know, these are the very things, the very emotions that these groups will prey upon to try to gain your trust. And, you know, when you hear about that alienation, isolation, questioning your identity, how many times, you know, do you hear gamers or nerds just summed up as, oh, yeah, fat guys living in their mom's basement? I mean, it's very easy to dismiss someone like that. And so it's sort of easy to see how that alienation and isolation can start becoming very tangible in somebody's life. And that's when the real danger starts to come in, because that's when you start becoming susceptible to these types of ideas. It's terrifying.
Especially when you're a young man or young woman, you're a teenager and you have your brain's not fully developed just yet. So you're seeing this and you're feeling these things, which is pretty normal for any teenager to feel some of these feelings, but you think they're enhanced or I guess you can say I don't have the word for increased, I guess you can mm-hmm. say, because of what's happening.
Absolutely.
Through some of these places.
You're a very vulnerable target when you are I wonder how young people are being recalled, how young they are at that point. For 12 to 18, you are incredibly vulnerable.
There was a Vice piece that I had done that I had seen in doing research for this piece, and they said the youngest person that they talked to was 9.
I knew. Poor baby.
9. That should just ice over, your soul.
That's
chilling is the very definition of it.
And we see, Nate, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're seeing, sadly, the fruits of this recruitment over the last number of years, increasing mass violence, increasing right-wing extremism here in the U.S., we do need to wrap up in a minute, but we will be covering this again because this is a huge issue. But what can parents do, parents or guardians do, who have a child that is very actively involved online with gaming and they don't really know who they're hanging out with?
That's a great question. And the first thing that parents can do is get involved. You've got to get involved in your child's digital life in the same way that you're involved with their actual life. You want to know who their friends are at school, you're going to want to know who their friends are online as well. And anyone who sends up red flags, pay attention to those red flags. The second thing, and this is important not just for parents, but this is also to gamers who think that this is an important issue. You need to be putting pressure on Sony, on Microsoft, on Steam, on as many gaming companies as you can to put in regulations and to put in some sort of moderation for voice chats and for text chats, because this is the wild, wild west in terms of communication, and it's got to be moderated.
Thank you so much. Nate Bender is our gaming journalist here at WDET. He is the host of the podcast Let's Play, a daily gaming news podcast, and the creator of Checkpoint Radio. He's a public media colleague and audio engineer here at the station as well. Nate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will see you next week. This is Culture Shift live here on 101.9 WDET.